For the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about prayer. We all know that prayer works, right? I mean, if prayer didn't work, you wouldn't be praying, would you? And if I give you an opportunity, I believe that a lot of you would be coming forward and saying, this is how God has answered prayer in my life. Let's just do a quick exercise. How many of you can testify that God has answered prayer in your life? Okay, now take a look around you. That means prayer works. Amen. But I've been trying to show you that there is a couple of good reasons why prayer does not work. You know, the best way to look at it is to look at it from the point of view that sometimes when you follow a recipe, you know, let's say you want to bake a cake. Baking a cake is not just about what you have to do, it's also about what you shouldn't do. Do you agree with me? Because if you just do the right things, but you also do a couple of wrong things, the right things don't cancel the wrong things out, it's still not going to work. You have to understand certain things that you should avoid. Now, when it comes to prayer, prayer is similar to that. There's a good reason why sometimes prayer is not answered, and sometimes it has to do with us. Sometimes there's other things in play. Tonight, I want to look at a couple of the other reasons. Now, how many of you know that God has a will? Do you understand that God has a will? Doesn't the Bible say, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and to give you a future. Now look at your neighbor and say, the good news is, God has a plan for your life. But now here's the thing, God has a plan for your life. God doesn't have 50. You know, we come up with 100 backup plans, God's got one plan. And the thing is, sometimes we are so busy fighting for our plan that we miss God's plan completely. And a lot of the prayers that we are praying is about what we want to do instead of what God wants to do, because we don't always know and understand what God's will is. In the book of 1 John chapter 5 verse 14 to 15, it says, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know if He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked for. Now you see, here's the very important thing. It doesn't say God answers every prayer. It says God will give us what we ask as long as we ask in accordance with God's will. There's a lot of things that people pray every day that has nothing to do with the will of God. And God can't answer every prayer that you have and every request that you have that's got nothing to do with His plan for your life, because then He's in the process of shooting Himself in the foot, which I don't think He does. So many times God will say no because it's not good for you. The problem is we don't understand that always, and then we tend to get a bit upset with God. So we have to understand that not every single thing that we are praying for right now is actually within the will of God for our lives. The things we ask for outside of God's will simply don't get a yes. Now here's the thing with people. People like you until you say no. Then a lot of them have a big problem with you. Have you ever seen that? As long as you keep saying yes, 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 it's fine. The moment you say no, it's like, oh, you've ruined the friendship. Now, a lot of people treat God that way. As long as God says yes, 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 we're all happy to serve Him. The moment He says no, we're like all upset with Him. It's not right. There's reasons why God sometimes says no. So, yes, many times people do get upset with God for not answering a prayer, but God is the only one that knows His purpose and plan for your life. We don't. And sometimes we must also abide by the fact that when God says no, it is because God knows better. I want to give you an illustration. Like a gazillion years ago, during the Great Depression in America, there was a church that believed in sending out missionaries and supporting missionary work, and they began to support mission work in China. Specifically, they got involved with a ministry that was doing good work in an orphanage all the way over in China. Being the Great Depression, it was very difficult for people to give anything because they hardly had enough to survive themselves. But the people digged deep The people worked hard, the people persisted, and the people gave sacrificially. And the church got together quite a lot of things to send over to the people in China. A lot of clothes were brought in for the young people, for the kids that were living in these orphanages. Now, as these things had to be sent over by ship, they had to make crates. And there was a local carpenter that was associated with the church. He came in and he offered his services free of charge. He gave all the wood and he did all the work. He built a number of crates so that all these things that they had accumulated could be sent over. There we go. Praise God. So all these things could be sent over to these people in need overseas. Now here's the thing. It was finished. It was a hard day's work. It was late at night. The things had already been taken to the ships. And on his way home, he realized he can't find his glasses. He looked everywhere. He stopped the truck. He unpacked the truck. He couldn't find the glasses. Now he was in a state of panic. But there was nothing much he could do now. The next morning early, he went back to the church. Because now in his recollection, he knows he had the glasses when he was at church, because that's where he was building the crates. So it must be somewhere. And as he's going and he's thinking, I was here. Everywhere he goes, he cannot find the glasses. And as he goes and he sits down and he's pondering, he thinks to himself, he knows the last time he had the glasses was just before he was sealing the crates and putting them on the truck to go down to the docks. And then it dawns on him. The only place his glasses can be is probably it's inside one of the crates. He must have put it there by accident. And the realization comes to him that his glasses, as we speak, are on their way to China. And as he sits and he thinks about this, he starts getting very upset. He says to himself, you know, I can't understand how these things work. You know, I give my time, I give my money, I give my effort, I give everything to help other people, and then I'm the one that's in the duangya. I don't understand how this stuff works. Now here's the thing. The glasses cost him a fortune. It was the depression years. He had 6 children. There was no TV back then, you understand. Well, what must I say? And now, to make matters worse, he had the glasses for one day. He got them the same day that he built the crates. Now you can understand his upsetment, you can understand his frustration, but you know what, you have to go on with life, you have to get over it, and you know, he made a plan, he went on with his life. Roughly a year later, there's a visiting pastor. It happens to be the chap that runs the little kids home, all the orphanage all the way over in China. And the reason he came to America is to say thank you personally to all the churches that support the missionary work that they do there. And he brought back pictures and he showed them what the kids looked like with all the clothes on, and with great thankfulness in his heart, he was conveying his thanks and the children's thanks for all the clothes that were sent and for all the wonderful things that they posted to them. And then he said, but I just want to say to this specific congregation, thank you so much for blessing me with a wonderful new pair of glasses. And he went on to say that at that point in time, the communist Chinese had come and destroyed everything in this orphanage. And they had beaten him up. And in the process of beating him up, they had actually destroyed his glasses. And there was no other money for glasses. In fact, there was no place for him to get glasses because the country was falling apart. And he had to continue doing his work, not being able to really see very well. And it gave him debilitating headaches every single day. And he battled to do his work, and him and his staff would get together every morning and they would pray for God to send him new glasses. And they opened the crates and they were all excited about the clothes. And when they opened the one specific crate, right on top, neatly placed, was a pair of glasses. And somebody said to him, I believe God has honored your prayer. I'm sure these glasses are for you. He says, and the most amazing thing, when he put them on, they fit perfectly and they work perfectly. Amen. Apparently, they were better than the glasses that he lost before. And you know what? The congregation sat listening to this and everybody was a little bit perplexed because nobody sent him glasses. They just decided that he must be confusing them with another congregation. So they all clapped and gave glory to God. But there was one man sitting in the back row with tears streaming down his face because he realized that day that God did not answer his prayers. When he asked God, please help me to find my glasses, there was a reason why God was quiet. There was a reason why God said no, because somebody needed those glasses more than what he needed it. You see, even though it was difficult for him to buy them the first time, he could still get them a second time. This man could not get another pair. And he couldn't do the work that God had called him to do unless he found another pair of glasses. My friend, you know, many times we get frustrated with God and we get upset with God because we deem that God is being very unfair. This man was of the opinion that God was unfair. But later on he found out that he had to eat his words because he would any day give that pair of glasses for the reason that God did not answer his prayer. It gave new life to somebody else. So, the next time God doesn't answer your prayer, remember the story and think to yourself, there could be good reasons why God is saying no today. It might be a blessing for somebody else. Sometimes what we pray for is simply wrong. Now, I need you to listen to this. You know, we all look at life and we think we know what's going on. I want to help you out. None of us really know what's going on. We think we know what's best for us, but we don't have the cooking clue what's best for us. Can you tell the future? No. Do you know what the day of tomorrow holds? So if you don't know what the day of tomorrow holds, why do we get upset when God doesn't answer the prayers pertaining to tomorrow? The fact is, sometimes God sees something in your tomorrow that if he was to give you what you ask for today, it will destroy your tomorrow. Fact is, we simply don't know, and sometimes the things we ask for are wrong. If your four-year-old comes running into the room, all excited, Daddy, 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 we playing cops and robbers. Daddy, can I please have your .357 Magnum because I have to shoot the bad guy? What father in his right mind is going to say yes to that? You can't give it. And there's good reason why you can't give it. And your four-year-old might get very upset and he might throw a tantrum and think that you're being very unfair. But you know what's best for him. And you know if you give him a loaded weapon, somebody's going to be in trouble. And therefore you have to say no. You see, God is no different. Some prayers just cannot be answered. Because God knows what the outcome will be if he says yes to what you're asking today. And this might be surprising to you, but even in biblical times, there was people who actually asked wrong. They prayed wrong. There was a time when Peter, James, and John were climbing a mountain with Jesus. They got to the top of the mountain, and on top of the mountain, the glory of God came down. It surrounded them. And some pretty amazing things began to happen. Moses appeared and had a conversation with Jesus. The glory of God shone to such an extent that they were blinded by the light. And in the midst of all of this, Peter reckons, Lord, let's build three houses here. Let's live here and let's be here together forever. That's in a sense a prayer request. Did Jesus answer his prayer? You see, here's the thing, and I need you to think about this. When Peter was going through the stuff that was happening, and when he saw Jesus, and he saw Moses, and he saw Elijah, or whoever else was there, and he saw this power of God everywhere, he was emotional. He was excited, and probably he was a bit spaced out as well. He didn't think very far because Jesus did not come to the world to live on a mountaintop secluded from mankind. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. The work wasn't on the mountain, the work was in the valley. And if they stayed on the mountaintop, it would have missed the purpose of God for all of their lives. Yet at that moment, he wanted it desperately. He didn't want to leave there. And in a way, you can't blame him. When you are in a place where the glory of God is, sometimes you just want to stay there and you say, oh Lord, please don't let this end. But it has to end at some point in time because it is given to equip you for the work that is waiting. You can't bask in the glory of God all day because then nobody does the work. The glory of God comes to release the power of God within you. And you see, sometimes we praying and we asking God for something because to us at that moment, it's like that's the right thing to do. But God sees in the future that will destroy you. And so God sometimes says no. In the book of Luke chapter 9 verse 51, we find another account, very interesting. As the time approached for Jesus to be taken up into heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead who went to a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. Now when the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them? But Jesus rebuked them. Their prayer request was, Lord, these people are being stubborn. These people are opposing the work of the gospel. Let your fire come down and consume all of them. Can you imagine if God had answered that prayer? It would have been a disaster. Yes, at that moment they felt angry, they felt upset, they felt it was time for action. But the action they wanted to take and the action God wanted to take was completely removed from one another. God said no. So even though the disciples thought that their request was probably a good one, in God's eyes, it was a bad one. God said no. Now here's a way of thinking about it. Peter, James, John, Matthew, Mark, Luke. All of these people walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus, studied under him, learned from him. Yet they prayed wrong. They asked for wrong things. What makes you think you don't sometimes ask for wrong things too? You see, again, it comes down to the fact that, you know, I use this a lot, but the Bible says there's a road that seems right unto man, but the end thereof leads unto death. Thing is, we're not always sure that we are on that road. Sometimes we don't have the foggiest idea where we are. Sometimes we're just confused with life. And we want things to happen. So we're asking God, Lord, make this happen. And God says, if I give you that, who's going to pick up the pieces a year from now? And God doesn't answer. And unfortunately, many times that brings out the frustration in us. We don't always know when we ask for something that what we're asking for is wrong. But here's where we need to stop and think. Who does your life belong to? See, the thing is, we forget about that many times. We gave our life to God. Now he's steering the ship. And sometimes he wants the ship to hang around the shore for a bit longer because it's still being loaded. You know, if you take a long journey and you don't have enough supplies, you're going to be in trouble. You'll die on the open seas. So sometimes the ship has to stay in the harbor and we like, oh, but Lord, I wanted to be out on the open seas. I want to feel the spray of the seas in my face. I want to be out there and I want to have an adventure. And God says, you're not ready. And we like, oh man, I'm going to sulk. I'm going to complain. I'm going to throw a tantrum. And God says, do your best. I'm still not going to change my mind because I can't give you what you're asking for because it is wrong. My friends, as much as you don't like to hear this, sometimes the only option God has is to say no, because what you're asking for will be a disaster. Sometimes we ask for the wrong things. Sometimes we ask for something too small, and God wants to give us much bigger Sometimes we ask for too little, and God wants to give us much more. Sometimes our requests will lead to problems in the future. You see, yes, sometimes God says no. And when God says no, it's not to be spiteful. It's not to upset you. It's because He wants the best for you, and He knows your future, and you don't. Now, sometimes the problem isn't that we're asking the wrong thing. Sometimes the problem is we're asking in the wrong time for the right thing. How many of you have children? Just raise your hands. Okay. How many of you were children once? All of you. Okay, so even if you don't have children, you will be able to relate to what I'm going to share with you now. How many of you know that children have no patience? Okay, let's just explain that. Can you remember when you used to be? You still remember that. Because you are a children and you know what I'm talking about. How many of you saw that movie with the Oaks driving, the father and the mother are driving and the kids keep saying, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet?" Okay. Why do they make movies like that? Because we laugh at it, because we relate to it. Because that's just the way it is. You know, you put your kids in the car, everybody's excited to go on holiday, but every 5 seconds it's like, "Are we there yet? Oh geez, Dad, aren't we there yet? Oh Dad, please, we should be there yet." Why do they keep doing that? Because they're impatient. They want to be there now. And God help you if you're on a trip to Cape Town with your children. I mean, really, you're going to need a lot of mercy for that trip. Because you're going to hear it 1,000 times from Joburg to Cape Town. "Dad, are we there yet?" Now there's the next one. It's not just about the actual trip. It's about going on the trip. Now you've told them they're going to go on holiday. Oh, you should have actually just kept quiet. Because now they want to know, "Is it tomorrow, Daddy? Oh, Dad, why isn't it tomorrow? We want to go tomorrow. Oh, Dad, please, can't we go tomorrow?" That's how children are, aren't they? Oh, and then there comes a birthday or something like Christmas. Christmas is actually sometimes worse because we put the present under the tree. Now they see the present every day. "Oh, but Dad, is it Christmas yet?" "No, it's another 5 sleeps. "What do you mean it's 5 sleeps? Dad, can't I open it today?" "Oh, Dad, what's the worst that can happen? Please, Dad, make a plan. Let's just open it today." "No, you have to have..." "What do you mean another 4 sleeps? And every day you go through the same thing. What is it? It's impatience. They want it and they want it now. They don't want to wait. They get all excited and they want it. How many kids say, "Oh, I wish I was all grown up already"? You know what? If you know what I know, you don't wish to grow up. You wish to stay small. You know, I said to my son just this morning, I said to my son, "You know, enjoy this time of your life because it is the best time of your life. And unfortunately, once it's gone, nothing will bring it back. Don't wish it away. Be patient. Take the good things, take the bad things, it doesn't matter, because in the end, it's all good when you look back. Your school years are the best years of your life." Unfortunately, most people are impatient, especially when we're younger and we just want it all to go away. We want to have that ID, we want to have that license, we want to be able to do whatever we please, whenever we please. Stay in mommy's house. Stay in daddy's house. Let them take responsibility for everything. It's much better that way. But unfortunately, human nature is as such, we want to grow up quickly. When will I be old enough to drive a car? Why can't I stay up till 12 o'clock at night? When can I wear makeup to school? Yes, there we go. So even though you and I have grown up, in certain respects, we have actually just remained children. Because just like your children, most of us, we want God to answer the prayer today. In fact, yesterday would have been even better. Why is God taking so long? Why isn't it happening right now? We want the prayers answered now. We want God to meet every need yesterday. We want Him to have moved the mountain already. When is it going to happen, Lord? I want it now. You see, when your children are young, you expect them to be patient. Unfortunately, we're in the same boat with God. From God's point of view, we are like that four-year-old who wants Christmas to come tomorrow, or actually it must have been here today. We can't afford to wait a week. And we say to our children, be patient, it's going to come. And sometimes God is saying to us, be patient, it's not time yet. You see, God has good reasons for making us wait. Just like you don't have to give your children or give in to your children's tantrums about getting it today and wanting it yesterday, so God will not be moved by your complaining, your moaning, your groaning, or your tantrum. Because if it's not time, it's not time. And you're just going to have to wait for the right time to come. Listen to me carefully. A godly delay is not the same as a denial. Sometimes when God takes longer, we like, oh, God has said no. No. Doesn't mean he said no. It's just not the right time. You have to keep praying. You have to stay true to the faith. And you have to trust God that things are going to happen. But God will let it happen in the right time. Isaiah 55 verse 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. You know, what you should be taking from this is that God moves in a realm that is very far removed from where we are. To God, when he looks at your life, he sees everything. We just see the bit where we are now. God sees your past, he sees your present, he sees your entire future. Your life to God is an open book. Tomorrow doesn't exist for you yet. Now God knows exactly why things are taking a bit more time. You don't. You get frustrated. God doesn't get frustrated. God says, my child, have patience. Good things come to those who wait. Amen? Good things come to those who wait. God's time is always the right time. We are encouraged in the Bible to pray and not to lose heart. Sometimes we are praying the right thing, but the time is simply not right for the breakthrough to manifest itself. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 17 says, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for that is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Pray continually. There's a difference between praying continually. Let's say you're praying. Let's make it practical. You're praying for your children to serve God, and right now they want nothing to do with God. And you've prayed for a year, and nothing has happened, and now you've decided that God's not going to answer your prayers. Is that the right attitude to have? The Bible says pray continually. There is a difference between continually and giving up. The devil wants you to give up. God says, stick to your guns. Galatians 6 verse 9 says, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Do you know why most people's prayers do not get answered? It's not because sin in their life. It's not because of disobedience. It's because they lose hope and they give up. Now, you must understand something. The road we walk is not always going to be easy. There are going to be tough times. There are going to be difficult times. Jesus himself said, in this world, there will be troubles. But take heart, I have overcome the world. And you see, the thing is, the devil is not stupid. He knows when to come and mess with your life. He doesn't come when things go well. He comes when things don't go well. He doesn't come when there's a lot of money in the bank. He comes when the overdraft is in overdraft. And they were supposed to pay you yesterday, but they're only going to pay you next month. I'm talking to somebody here. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. But the fact is, it's in those days where the devil comes and he says, oh, why are you even praying? Why are you even trying? Can't you see that God doesn't care about you? Can't you see that God will not hear your prayers? Just give up. I want to tell you something. If the devil right now is putting a lot of pressure on you to stop praying, you must ask yourself the question, why? Something must be troubling him. Something must be working on him to put so much pressure on you. Because one thing about the devil, he's not stupid. The Bible says he's full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Full of wisdom means he's figured out something by now. The only people that ever got anywhere is people that persist in prayer. So if he can make you one of those that give up, if he can make you one of those that say, ah, I'm wasting my time, you will be one of those that go nowhere. God expects you to persevere. And I don't care if it's taken 2 years or if it's taken 3 years. Perseverance is perseverance till the end. There is no, I'm giving up. You chose to be a child of God, you're going to be a child of God for the long haul. You chose to pray for somebody, you're going to pray for them until you see that breakthrough. And if it never comes, that's between them and God. It's got nothing to do with you. Stick to your guns. Keep praying. Do not give up. Let us not become weary. How many times do you say, ah, you know, I'm tired of praying? The Bible says, do not become weary. What is another word for weary? Tired. You can't be tired of praying. That's like saying, I'm tired of breathing. You need prayer. Where are you going to get without it? You're going to go nowhere. So the fact of the matter is, it doesn't matter how many times things go wrong. It doesn't matter how many times it's not the way you wanted it to be. Get over the frustration, get over the disappointment, and keep on praying. Because you know what? I want to say something to you. The morning when the breakthrough is going to come is going to be the same as every other morning. There will not be angels singing in the sky. There will not be little fairies dancing around and rainbows everywhere. And what are those things with the one little unicorns dancing and doing all sorts of stuff? It's going to be the same old, but suddenly, bam, the breakthrough will be there. But it comes for those who persevere. It doesn't come for those who give up. It doesn't come for those who get weary. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, listen to that, at the proper time. You know, time. Say again. You're not a giver upper. I'm proud of you. We should not be giver uppers. You're right. At the proper time. Now, here's the thing. We don't know when the proper time is. Sometimes the proper time is tomorrow. Well, praise God, glory, hallelujah. That was a wonderful thing. But sometimes the proper time is 6 years away, 8 years away, 10 years away, 6 months away. And it's going to try your patience. It's going to test your resolve. It's going to test your commitment. Whether you like it or not, it's going to. But the things that are a bit further away are the things that are really worth fighting for. Because they are the big things. They are the big breakthroughs. They are the miracles. And you must understand something about miracles. Even though God is the God of miracles, miracles are rare. The reason they are rare is because not many people are willing to persevere and fight to see them. Most people give up too quick and too soon. But there are still miracles today. They still happen. Amen. You know, I was reading up on a revival that took place in Ireland in the 1850s, somewhere around there. Apparently, this revival was so phenomenal. This revival was so powerful that in the end, the police had no work because there was no more crime. Imagine if that happened in South Africa. I mean, talking about miracles, that'll be like, wow. The revival was so phenomenal and it swept the entire country to such a degree that the whole country changed. Now that revival was started by one woman. A woman that came over from England with a heart for people, a heart for the lost. And she worked and worked and worked and worked and worked. And she also became despondent at some point in time. And she also felt that nothing was happening for her. But on the last day, because she could only be there for a certain amount of time. I don't know if her money ran out or what the story was. I forget. But fact is, on the last day that she had to spend in Ireland, she knocked on the door of a Mrs. Brown's house. And Mrs. Brown happened to open the door and two of her friends were there. And they were actually busy talking about godly things. They were talking about predestination. And they wanted to know if this lady believed in predestination. And she didn't want to answer their question because she knew if she answers their question, they probably won't listen to her anymore. And she turned the subject away from that and she began to speak about God and the fact that you need a personal relationship with God to actually get saved. Nobody really responded that night. She went home, not realizing that that night, God opened the doors for revival. Because the three people that were sitting there, when she left, began to speak about what God spoke through her lips. The Holy Spirit touched their hearts. The gentleman that was sitting there, his whole life changed. He went, and through him, change began to go throughout Ireland. She probably thought God wasn't answering her prayers. But God did, in a much bigger way than she ever thought. How many times have you prayed about things and you don't see what God is busy doing? But later on, when you look back, you are blown away to see what God has done. I want to tell you something. When the Bible says this, listen to this. Let us not become weary in doing good. You know, the lady that came from England, she had a tough time. People didn't respond to her. People had a don't care attitude. And this was her last day. She could have said, you know what? I've been here for how long? Nothing has happened. Why must I bother with these people? They don't care anyway. I'm just going to have a quick cup of tea, go to bed, and tomorrow morning I'm going to hit the road. But she didn't. Till the last, she kept fighting. Till the last, she persevered. God turned her perseverance and her faith into revival that changed a nation. Don't give up, because you never know what God is going to do with what you are busy fighting for and praying for right now. At the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. I want to say to you again, the difference between you seeing your prayers answered and not answered is sometimes as simple as do not give up. Luke 18 verse 1, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that you should always pray and never give up. My friends, I don't know how to put this to you in more plain English. When things are tight, when things are difficult, the voice is going to come into your ear and say, you're wasting your time. Why do you even bother? Just let it go. But you better not listen to that voice. Remember the voice that says, at the proper time, you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. It's worth fighting for. It's worth praying for your children because the harvest will come. Amen. It's worth praying for that breakthrough because the door will open. I can't tell you it'll be today. I can't even tell you it'll be tomorrow because the future belongs to God. But I can tell you this. The Bible gives you a promise. Yes, His promise. At the proper time, you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. I want to end off with this scripture. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1. And this kind of like just seals the fact that in the world and in the spirit realm, time is important. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1. There is a time for everything. There is a season for every activity under the sun. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. Look at your neighbor and say, there is a time for your breakthrough. There is a time for your healing. There is a time for your deliverance. Don't give up. Amen. Don't give up. Let's take one of these things. A time to kill and a time to heal. You know, listen to these words. There is a time to heal. You know, this is something that I know people sometimes struggle with. They come for healing and nothing happens today. They come for healing and nothing happens tomorrow. The Bible says there's a time. When I'm praying for you tonight, I don't know if this is the time. When I pray for you next week, I don't know if that is the time, but God does. Sometimes God wants to see whether you're willing to persevere. Sometimes God wants to see whether you're willing to trust Him in His Word. We don't know. There are a lot of things involved that we are not in control of. But what you can do is be obedient to the Word of God. Thing is, sometimes people have this attitude. Oh, you know, I've been to church and they prayed for me and nothing happened. So, nothing is going to happen. Wrong. How do you know whether that was the time? You don't. And because you don't know when the time is, be ready at every opportunity. Because you never know if tonight is your night. You don't know if right now is your time. And I want to encourage you. See every opportunity as the opportunity for the breakthrough to come. Because you know what? Like I said to you earlier on, there aren't always these signs that's like, wah, you know. And it's like, oh, what's going to happen today? You don't know. And sometimes it's that day when you really, really don't want to go to church. Everything is telling you to stay at home. Stay in bed. That voice speaks to you and says, oh, the blankets are so warm. Amen. Well, that's exactly what I'm talking about. What she's saying is that the first time God actually spoke to her through a stranger and gave her a direct message, she was invited to go somewhere and she didn't want to go. Now, the question is, was it her that didn't want to go or was there some devil that knew something was going to happen and he didn't want her to go? Only God knows. But the point is this. We can come up with a good reason why not to go to church. We can come up with a good reason why we don't need prayer for this and that because they've prayed for me many times and nothing has happened. There is an appointed time for things to happen. But I want to say something else to you. You remember the story of the guys with the lamps? Okay? The servants with the lamps. Some of them had oil, some of them didn't have oil. When the ones with the oil were there, the door opened, they went through, they had their appointed time. The other ones weren't there for whatever reason and they missed it completely. Many times I have a feeling that people miss their appointed time because they couldn't be bothered to be where God wanted them to be. And that's something that we have to take responsibility for. You know, sometimes there's a specific anointing for things to happen. And then something is really going to tell you, don't go to church today because, you know what, whatever the story is, you're frustrated, you're angry, this one looked at you funny or scared, or that one didn't greet you last week at church. And, you know, we come up with stupid reasons why we don't want to go. But that's the day. That was the time. I respect what God says, there's a time. But I want to say to you, there's also a place. The people in the Old Testament that God, in the Bible days that God healed were the people that were in the time, in the place where Jesus was. And boom, everything fell together and healing flowed. A lot of that will never change. Sometimes we miss the boat. Sometimes we lose the opportunity. So let's do our best. Let's pray without ceasing. Let's not let the enemy discourage us. Let's keep going forward. And you know what? It doesn't matter if you've been prayed for 20 times for the same thing. The Bible says pray without ceasing. Knock and keep on knocking. You know, let me address the one elephant in the room that always pops up. Oh, but if you go more than once for prayer for the same thing, it's a sign of having no faith. Where do you find that in the Bible? It's unbiblical. When Jesus himself says, knock and keep on knocking. When Jesus himself says, pray and keep on praying. You know, religious people like to argue about stuff and they make up this rubbish to confuse other people. If you need a breakthrough, the opportunity is there for prayer, you go for prayer. You stand there with faith and you trust God. If it's the time, it's going to happen. If it's not the time, next time will probably be the time. Come with faith. Do not be dejected. Do not give up hope, because you never know when opportunity is going to strike. And God says, it is time. Bam. What is difficult now becomes easy when you're in the appointed time. Did anybody learn something tonight? Give the Lord a big hand.